I listened to this story, and you know, when you hear a story that's not a fable, that's real, a challenge that people face in life and how they overcame, of course, with the help of God. Remember, we've been talking about faith for the impossible. We looked at faith for throughout the month of November, and then we're looking at the glory of the latter and how God shows up when doctors will have said to you, you know what, this is the end. But remember, the end is not the latter end. That's what we've been looking at for the past two Sundays. So tonight, I am so happy and privileged to, let me just share something first. And please, when you see this, you are not allowed to laugh at me, all right? Don't laugh at me. Let me just show you quickly a picture. All right, look at that. I am not very short. I'm almost 6 foot tall. I'm 5'11", thereabout. So I've got a gentleman there. I wish I had a picture to show you how the glory of the latter end showed. I carried this man as a baby. I fed him with a feeding bottle as a baby, but I thought that was the end until he showed up at the latter end and his head and shoulders above me. Okay, no further ado. You know what? Let me tell you what we have in the house today. Let me stop sharing my screen. Okay, let me bring in my guests tonight. And cameras on, media team, can you just show their faces? And when they're on the screen, I am waiting to see them on my screen. I can see you. Please let us give a Love Assembly welcome wherever you're watching from, all over the world, because I know people are tuned in as far as, you know, different continents watching tonight. Please join me tonight. Wow. Let's start from Zach. That is Zach being cuddled there. And that is Linda. And that is Wally, you saw in the picture I just shared with you. That's the Ayodays. Can you hear me? Can you say hello to the entire world listening to this?
Hello, everyone.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
Good afternoon, good evening. Anywhere, we know you are in... We know you are right there in Texas, yeah. Dallas, Texas, precisely. And what's the time there with you?
1:20,
yeah.
Okay, so it's 1:20, 20 minutes past 1 p.m. or a.m.
p.m.
Thank you for making tonight's meeting. I am so, so delighted to see you. I listened to your story and I said, every ear must hear what the Spirit of God is doing in these last days and especially in your family. So thank you for showing up tonight or afternoon. I know you had to take some time off your busy schedule just to be with us tonight. Okay, so I've got baby Zach enjoying life there, you know, like, you know, I was going to tell him, Zach, just wave in the air, wave your hand in the air like you don't care. He's got absolutely no care in this world, but there's a story behind baby Zach. Linda, I can see you smiling. I know precisely maybe even a year ago you were not smiling.
Yeah.
And Wally is there too, smiling there. Probably using all the very last ounce of faith that he had. Anyway, you know what? Let me start by showing a picture. And you're going to tell us your story tonight. But let me show this picture because I want us to start from here, right? Now, that was, let me just put it on a slideshow. Okay. Right. Let me go back. Now, do you remember that picture? That was November 2016. Precisely 2016. Is that correct, sir? And ma?
Yep, that is right.
And that was at your wedding.
Yeah.
That's right. That was at your wedding. I remember, let me show the next picture. I took this picture with Wale just before we stepped into the church. Oh. Yeah, I remember very well, you know, doing all the photo shoots with his groomsmen. You know, I wish I still have that picture. He was like, you know, when you see an harrow head and the groomsmen were just lined up beside him, it was like tall, shortest. So I took that picture with you. We were smiling. Everybody was expecting November 2016. And then we went inside the church. The processional hymn, Wale was there waiting for beautiful Linda, you know, to come in. And then Linda, I remembered you came in. And then we started listening to, you know, all the stuff the pastor there was saying. And then it came to the joining. So you started exchanging vows. And you know what? Let me stop sharing the screen. It's time for you to share. Okay. Now, what happened when you were exchanging vows? I was there, but let people hear this story. Go on.
So I'll go, unless you want to go.
Yeah.
Basically, the night before, I'm a graphic designer. So most of the graphics that were done for our wedding were done by me. And the night before at our traditional, I realized that I had forgotten to design the programs for the reception. So I was up all night designing programs for the reception and both.
So we left the traditional.
Yes.
Then we went to the hotel.
Now, when you say traditional, because we have some people watching, they don't understand what traditional is. Your traditional wedding.
Yes.
When the two families met formally before you went to church the following day.
Right.
Because I was there, Linda. I remembered your family. You kept us waiting all night. I tell you. We thought you were going to change your mind that night.
You know, wedding protocol. It wasn't me.
Okay, go on.
So we left the traditional maybe around 1:00 or 12:31. Got to the hotel, and then we got to the hotel. That's when she remembered the programs for the church.
Yeah.
And she was thinking it was very important. Let's do it. So she designed it, and she finished the design around 2:30 a.m.
A.m. Yeah.
And that time we hadn't eaten because you were at the traditional.
That's right, I was there.
You know, and I was right in the middle. She was in the back. So the packed was food to go. It's Nigerian food. So we took that and we got to the hotel. After she finished the design, we were all both hungry. So we figured, okay, let's warm the food. The room didn't have a microwave. It's one of those new age hotels trying to be all fancy. No microwave. So we went downstairs. Okay, there's no microwave in our room. Can you please let us know where to find the microwave?
Or a place to heat the food.
And they said they don't have any. Mm-hmm. And this was 2:30 a.m. We hadn't eaten. So we just decided, you know what? Let's eat this food because we need to eat something for the next day.
For the journey ahead.
Going to the church and at the reception.
Yeah. So we didn't realize that the food had gone bad.
The food had gone bad.
Yes, because it had been there.
Because it was a food that you guys had at the traditional. So it's been there since six, seven.
And it was packed. By the time we got to the hotel, it was many hours later. So it was packed for us. It was pre-packed. So by the time we ate it, it had been sitting for many hours. So it had gone bad. We didn't know, but we ate it. So when I got to the wedding ceremony, you know, I'm walking down the aisle and all that, and everything was fine. But during the time where we were saying our vows and the pastor was preaching, I start getting dizzy.
That's right.
And it got worse, I was dehydrated as well. So I was having an upset stomach and I was dehydrated. So I started to get a little woozy. And I was actually talking to Wale while the pastor was preaching. And I was telling him, I don't think I could stand. And he was like, just push.
We're almost there. Just a few more minutes.
Yes, just a few more minutes. He's like, do you think you can make it? I said, my legs are going numb. I don't think I'm going to make it. And once I said, I don't think I'm going to make it, it's when I blacked out.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we were there in the congregation. Yeah. You both were exchanging vows. And all of a sudden, I noticed that while he was trying to hold you, we thought he was trying to hug you and give you a kiss before he was asked to kiss the bride. And the next thing, boom, you collapsed right there on your wedding day.
Yeah.
It was like the devil came to America that day.
But supernatural things were happening on the outside. I mean, Uncle, you could testify to this. Many people were praying and speaking in tongues. On my end, I was out cold. It was like I was in another world. And what actually made me wake up, I was hearing tongues in English.
Wow. People were praying in tongues. You were hearing English.
Yes. And all the voices were separated. That's actually the first time I was able to hear tongues interpreted in a language that I could understand. So I was hearing it. As I was hearing it, it was sounding distant and getting closer, and it was separating. I knew that there were fake tongues that were being spoken in the audience. I knew that there were some hearts that were for us, some hearts that were against us during the wedding. Not very many, but most of the people's prayers were very genuine. Some people I could hear like gossip, but it was very strange. It's like everything was divided. And as I woke up, that's when the voices went from English and they started to turn into tongues.
Okay. Now, let me stop. Yeah. You know, let me just ask that.
Yeah.
I don't know if Wale remembers how long she passed out for. It was right there, you know, so that people will get the real picture. The wedding, they were exchanging vows and Linda just fainted, passed out while they were exchanging vows. And people started praying and all that. Yeah.
I can't remember exactly.
Okay, but I remember because I think you were in another world. The wedding, after she passed out, right, and people started praying and all that, she was out for a couple of minutes, really. And, you know, pandemonium, chaos, you know, all over the place. You know, I remember I flew from where I was sitting in front, flew up to the stage there praying, you know, joining in the prayer. And then she came around and then she had to be taken out. Yeah, she had to be taken out. And the wedding stopped, the ceremony. It stopped temporarily. And I can remember that they had to call in the ambulance and all that. And when you came around, the first thing I heard you say, Linda, was, I'm ready to continue. I'm ready.
Yeah.
And Wale came back to life too, because he was standing, but he had gone. Yeah, so it was so that people would get that picture. It was on your wedding day, you see a bride, literally. And Linda, you are not as short as I am. 6'3". Is that right? You're 6'3". A 6'3" white, you know, dressed in bridal gown, vroom, just collapsed.
Yes.
It was very interesting.
Yes. And yes. Another thing that happened when I actually woke up, Wale was actually encouraging me. My sisters were praying over me. And my sisters actually told me I didn't have a pulse, by the way.
Wow.
Me, yes. But it was something, it actually started our journey as a couple that day, because it gave me security in the family I was marrying into. That was the first day I met a lot of his family.
Yeah, and, like me.
Yes. So seeing you all's response to that. It wasn't like Nigerian movie. Oh, hey, this girl that we married, they're giving us the one that has, you know, one thing or another. So I felt blessed that you all's response was encouraging, and it gave me the security that I needed. And his own response was a reassurance of love. He just kept saying, I love you. This is going to be a testimony. And it gave me the security that I needed in the marriage at the beginning. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. I mean, yeah. And then we went on. I remembered. And then we went on from there. The reception. And that reception was another, because I was wondering where you both now got the energy through that reception. Can I confess to you, I actually ran. I ran away from that reception. I was wondering, you guys don't want to go home. I'm going.
Really?
I'm going. You were still at that reception, if I remember. I left around 2 a.m., you know. No one would have believed that happened earlier in the day. So the journey now began.
Yes.
Because when you look at that start, you know, the start of what was, I mean, a journey, a marriage, and such a, you know, let me use the word tragic thing happens, one will wonder, is this a sign of what is to come? But I'm happy that you knew you were marrying into a wonderful family. And I can say this, Linda, we're proud of you. I'm happy to call you my sister-in-law. Okay? I'm just letting people know that Wale is my first cousin. And even though I changed Wale's diapers, but it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. So the journey began.
Yes.
So tell us what happened.
So shortly after that, Wale was actually in a business. I mean, at the time, even during our wedding, Wale has got into a business with some of his friends. Now, Wale has amazing credit. And when he got into the business, it's his credit that actually helped the business be approved. So I have seen things, the business transactions kind of go wrong when it's only riding on one person's credit. So before the wedding, I was trying to tell him, like, I know you want to do business, I understand, but I just think it's kind of dangerous if you're the only one whose credit this thing is riding on. What if everybody pulls out? What would happen? You know, we are left with that bill. Well, right after the wedding.
Yeah, the business started having some issues.
Yes.
And the bills piling up. And then some guys were getting tired of the bills. So they weren't paying the bills, but the credit was still on mine. So we had a loan on it that we had to pay every month. So at the end, for about 2 months into our wedding, or maybe even a month, I had to then take on the burden of the monthly loan payments every month. And she was not having
it. No, I was not happy about it.
Your marriage, it's as if things were just kind of going down financially for you after so challenges started. So you had financial problems.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So we started to have a little bit of financial difficulty that was not there before. We started off well. So
that's right.
Going down was like something newly introduced to what seemed like to be the perfect, you know, scenario, marriage scenario. So for me at that time, you know, sometimes on all these social media sites and on TV, you get this false perception of what marriage really is.
That's right.
So everything's going to go in the way that you planned in your head. Because in my head, I had, okay, we're going to save up, we'll get a house, we'll, you know, have kids, we'll, you know, we'll replace our cars, we'll have kids in the summer. Or rather, we'll have kids, we'll start trying for kids in the summer, like all those kind of things. That's what I had in my head. So when we started financial difficulty, it just kind of ruined our communication with each other. And I'll say, mainly for me, more. Because in my head, all I kept thinking was, you know, and this is something that's very common amongst us women, is that if there's something that we foresaw and our husbands got into it, we have that I told you so. See, if you never did it, you should listen to me, like as a almost like a paragraph. So that was our first 5 months of marriage. And then in the 6th month, God began to change things around.
Well, through this all, we're still praying.
Yes,
so
yes.
We're praying to get closer to God.
Yes, yes.
And then yeah, we're talking about, you know, we'd like to travel.
Yes.
But because of the financial issues, she felt, okay, let's just save every dime we have.
Yes.
We shouldn't travel if we have this big bill in front of us.
Yes.
Right.
Very true.
So from a wedding day that had a lot of drama, the first 5 months of your marriage, drama, financial drama, disagreements, you know, I told you so, I didn't tell you so, you know. And but through all this, from what you said, did this shake your faith?
His or mine?
Both of you.
I would say it didn't. It started to test it for me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how finances would be. And I knew he wanted to be a provider like any man should be, but I wasn't sure of my influence on it. And I was getting used to having him at the head when it came to finances.
Mm.
So I wanted to be able to say, okay, I trust him freely with finances, but I felt I was having a worldly mindset on how I would influence him when it came to how we spent money.
So. Yeah, and it was more frustrating than a test of faith. It was, so for me, it got me praying a lot, and it got me just thinking, okay, maybe the business will do better, and then I will be able to see it's working now. So it was frustration on waiting for the business to pick up so that things will get better, but it never did. And so it was just frustrating.
Yeah.
Okay, so that it was like your fairy tale marriage was evaporating. We want to do this, we want to do that. First 5 months, it wasn't so.
Yeah.
Now a challenge came.
Yes. So
tell us about that.
Yes, we happy to. In April of
2017,
you married in November of 2016.
Yes.
So April 2017. Yes, go on.
So I was emceeing for a friend's baby shower, and at the end of the baby shower, I started to feel cramps. And my cramps went from 0 to 100. I went from, okay, I just have a stomach upset cramp to I can't walk within a matter of maybe an hour.
You couldn't walk?
Yes, couldn't walk. And I was in excruciating pain. So I called my parents. By the way, I come from a medical family. I'm the only one that's not in the medical field out of all my immediate family members. And I called my parents, asked them what did they think I should do. So they advised us, if I'm still feeling the pain, if it keeps intensifying, that I should go to an urgent care. We ended up going to an urgent care, and they thought it was gastritis. Mm. So they gave me medicine for gastritis. It didn't work. Yeah. Then my dad called some of his friends, one of his friends that was like a nurse practitioner, and she thought it was a UTI, so they prescribed UTI medication for me, and didn't work. So they ended up calling a family friend who was a physician, and I went to his office to go and check. Well, he was asking me questions about, you know, what have I done, you know, for it, and they were feeling my stomach area where I was feeling the cramps, and it was so sensitive to the touch. Like, I'm telling you, like, you didn't even have to touch it, like, even barely, and it was excruciating pain. And he said, okay, this is not normal. You need to go get a CT scan. So that day, I went to go get a CT scan. This was, I believe, like a Wednesday. On Tuesday is when I got the CT scan. On Wednesday, he calls and says, he gets the results, and then he calls us and he says, I think you need to come in. And for me, anytime I've heard that kind of thing, I'm like, okay, somebody's calling you to come in after a CT scan. I said, am I dying? What's going on? You know, is this something serious? And he goes, no. And it's an uncle. Like even though he's a physician in our community, he's like my uncle. So I told him, I said, uncle, is everything okay? He said, oh, everything is okay.
And then he said he invited our parents.
Yes. Then he said he invited my parents to come. So I said,
wow.
This thing is serious. So when they were there with his wife in the waiting room, and he brought Wale and I back when we went the next day to go and see him. And he says, these are your x-rays. So he showed it to me. Well, of course, I'm not a medical person, so I don't know anything's wrong. He said, this mass over here is not supposed to be here. And he says it's a pretty sizable mass. I said, is it cancerous? What's wrong? Bless you, David. Yep, bless you. So,
yes, Zach, we know you're here. Thank you.
So I said, is everything okay? I said, is it cancerous or what is it? He says, I don't know. You need to go see a specialist. So I'm arranging for the following Monday for you to see a specialist. We ended up leaving there and they jump in at any time.
We operate together.
Yes.
The doctor is also a pastor. So,
a Christian doctor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we booked the appointment for the next Monday. And then the next Monday, Linda and I went with Linda.
Oh, before that. So we met with him on Thursday. After that appointment, Wale took me to go and see the movie, A Case for Christ, because it had just gotten out at that time. He took me to go see that movie to take my mind off of things. The next morning, I was taking a shower and God showed me a vision. I saw a baby growing inside my stomach and I saw that mass there.
Mm.
And I saw the mass and the baby growing together. And God told me that the pain that I felt was caused through ovulation and that the mass is nothing, it's benign. So don't worry. And after I got that vision, when I got out of the shower, I ran to Wale and I said, babe, God showed me a vision. And he told me that the mass was benign, the pain was caused through ovulation, and I saw a baby and the mass growing together. So he said, okay.
Yeah, and one thing at the time was, we didn't know, is that a warning that the mass needs to be out for the baby to be there? But that was just something that we saw, but we didn't really have an answer for why we saw it at the time.
Okay. When you saw this vision, you were not pregnant.
No. This is 3 years before.
So it was like, that was 2017 from my calculation, right?
Yeah.
And it was like God was showing you like something that's not happened yet, even though the doctors that told you, hey, we found a mass growing right inside you.
Yeah.
Okay. Did they describe what this mass was like to you?
Not yet.
Not yet at that time?
No, yeah. Right.
Okay.
So the next Monday, when we went to go see the specialist, this doctor, and I'll call her Dr. Deborah.
Yeah, Dr. D.
Yeah. She comes in and she says, we need to do an exam on you, like a woman's exam. So she quickly does that woman's exam. And then she comes back and she goes, well, you have a really big mass inside of you. And from what I see, it looks like it's growing out of your ovaries. She said, it's going to need surgery. And
she was asking, do you still feel the pain?
Yes. She said, do you still feel the pain in your pelvis? At that time, I didn't feel any pain anymore. There was no explanation of why the pain went away. So I said, no, I don't really feel the pain anymore. She said, well, that's probably because your ovary is dead. So when I go in, I'm definitely going to take your left ovary out. And if it's connected to anything near your right ovary, I'll take that out too, just like that.
That was the doctor's diagnosis and what the doctor was prescribing.
Yeah.
You're going to take the mass out, and literally said your ovaries were dead. Yeah. We're going to take it out. And then if we check the other side too, we're going to take it out. In other words, you know what? We are literally going to suck life out of you.
But you said, based on our knowledge and what she saw, that the mask must have been choking her ovaries when she was feeling the pain.
Yes.
Wow. And now that the pain is gone, that means the ovary is dead, so there's no sensation there anymore.
Yes.
And then she said, before any surgery, she will recommend an ultrasound.
Yes.
To look at it further.
Yes. So she just wanted to get one more ultrasound before she did surgery, just to see it one more time.
Okay.
Go ahead, Uncle.
No, so what happened after that?
Yeah, so in my heart, as she said that, it was kind of like, it didn't really shake me that much. I think, by the way, that in that appointment, it was me, Wale, and my dad. So I can tell my dad, I know, having that medical background, hearing what this woman said, he was not happy at all. I think it shook him. And it shook him because he was worried about how it was going to shake me, being a newlywed and someone telling me that basically they're going to take away my ability to have a child.
That's right.
So, and also not knowing if it's cancerous or not. So when we got out of that appointment, my dad was like, how are you doing? You okay? You okay? I said, Daddy, I'm okay. But I really wanted to know how Wale felt about everything because God had gave me a supernatural peace. So when we got back in the car, my dad went to his car, we went to ours, and I asked Wale, I said, what do you feel about what she said? And he says, is she God? I said, it's true, she's not God. So with that, I was remembering the vision that God showed me, so it kind of gave us peace.
Okay.
Yeah. So shall we continue?
Yes. So, yes. I mean, you've had a verdict from the doctor and then you had to go and do an ultrasound now.
Yes.
Okay, so what did the ultrasound now reveal after you did it?
So, we did the...
We're praying for the doctor.
Yes, so at the time, after getting out of that appointment, and it being, and at the time it was close to Easter, so I was declaring, just as Jesus's tomb was empty, so they should look for this mask, and they won't find the mask there, just like when they looked for Jesus in the tomb, he wasn't there.
That's what you were declaring on yourself and on your wound, that they wouldn't find. Okay, all right, go on.
And then also, I was praying for this woman not to be my doctor anymore, because I didn't like her attitude.
You didn't like her attitude because of what she said?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or is it because of how she said it? Or both?
A combination.
All of it.
Yes.
So you started praying to God that you don't even want this woman as your doctor.
Yes.
Okay, so go on.
So the next appointment.
Oh, before that, it was Easter. Well, there's a vision.
Okay.
Easter, we ended up going to Houston to go and see my sister. While we were in Houston, God showed me a vision that my ovaries were fine. So I told Wale that, hey, God showed me a vision. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. He showed me a vision that my ovaries. Yeah, I said that God showed me a vision that my ovaries were fine. And we came back to Dallas, and then we went for the next appointment for her to review that ultrasound with us. So do you want to talk?
What did the ultrasound reveal?
Yeah.
Even though you were praying, you don't want the mass to be seen in the ultrasound, but the ultrasound came back, and what did it show?
Yeah, so when I got there, the lady says, okay, there's something funny on your ultrasound. So I'm getting excited. I'm like, yes, there's something funny. Yes, they won't see this mass again. So she says, well, the mass is there, but it seems like it's in a position that is different from what I thought before. It's lower in your pelvis. It's not, she said, both of your ovaries are fine. And I look at Wale, and then she said, it seems like the pain was caused through ovulation. So I look at him again. I was like, babe, the vision. And
that's
then.
Right.
Because of where this mass seems to be located, I can no longer be your doctor. So God answered the prayer, but the mass was still there. So although I was a little discouraged that the mass was still there, seeing that God had answered, like all the visions that he had shown me were like right spot on, and there's no way I would have known them if had God not showed it, it gave me confidence that God was doing something amazing. Right. Yeah. So I didn't know.
She tells you, okay, based on what I can see now, I can no longer be your doctor. And then she refers you.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So she's referring us to another physician. And that guy is an oncologist. And it's hard to, because this is one of the best teaching hospitals in Texas. So that doctor, it takes a little bit of time for him to be available. And I think he was available maybe like 3 weeks or so after we had met with this woman. So in the in-between time, God was growing my faith and he was showing me something. I said, so I'll give you a little background. And I told Uncle this when I was telling him the story that there, right before our wedding, I had a teammate from college.
That's who right.
had cancer. And, it's okay. I had a teammate in college who had cancer and she had four kids and she was telling me that she has faith that God will heal her. And I literally spoke to her just maybe a week or two before our wedding. And she's like, I know God's going to heal me. And she said, I know God is going to heal me because he has put me here to raise my kids. Hmm. And I said, amen. I was just standing with her in faith only to find out right before the wedding that she passed away.
She died.
Yes.
And now you are not getting your diagnosis that there was something growing inside there.
Yeah, and the lady worked in the OBGYN department of the hospital. So that was why if the issue was with her ovaries, she would work on it. So she transferred us to another guy in the oncology department, which is called the cancer center.
That's right, the oncology has got to do with those who treat
people with
cancer.
Every time I would get a call from there, in between this time that we're waiting for the appointment to come for the oncologist, I'm always constantly hearing cancer center, and the devil was torturing me with the fact that this girl believed that God would heal her and she died. What makes me so good? What makes me think that God will answer my prayer? So it was torture because I could not answer that. But the Lord gave me a word. He said, he just gave me a revelation. I said, Lord, I know if it was biblical days and I go and see you, I know what my faith would be. I wouldn't even question what would happen to me. And you said, lo, I will be with you always. You also said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means that you're here right now. Mm. So I said, Lord, if I wouldn't question it then why? I don't want to question it now. And I said, Lord, I know that if you're in front of me and you're here with me now, what my fate would be. I can't explain what happened to my friend. And that's what the devil was torturing me with. I said, I can't explain what happened to her. God has not given me that revelation. But I do know what your word says, that you'll never leave us. So I just said, Lord, with what you have given me now, I'm just going to hold on to it, even if I don't know anything else. And that's what I did. So maybe you want to say your side or...
I think he wants to say his own side too. You know, I'm kind of mindful of our time. Now, when you started seeing the oncologist, right?
Yeah.
The mass was still there.
Yes.
And they were able to see it properly.
Yes.
So what did they tell you about the mass? How, what was the description of it?
Yeah. They said it's a Coke size.
Size of a Coke bottle or a Coke can.
Yeah.
And when we walked into that oncologist's office, he was asking her, how's your left leg? Can you use the restroom? Because based on the scans, she should have issues walking and using the restroom.
Yes.
And at the time she was playing volleyball, she was fine. So that in itself, he said, the medical records is very discouraging, but what he's saying is encouraging. So he said, okay, let's forget the medical records for now. We have to monitor this thing. Let's see if it's growing. So they did those tests till the end of 2017. So in December, after multiple scans and...
Oh, he said, you're skipping over some major...
Because of time.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Don't worry. I know. We are bringing you back. Just
go ahead.
They said, okay, you don't have any of the symptoms. They took the biopsy. They don't know what it is. They checked the size in April to the size at the end of December, same size. So they said, okay, it's not cancer. And then he did something like this. He said, if I tell you two of my fingers are glued together and I do my hands like this, can you tell which ones? No, because until you try to remove it, you don't know which ones are glued together. So he said, if you do surgery and this thing is attached to something, that thing is going to come out. But I don't know what it is. I just know it's next to certain things. So he said, medically, I think you should take it out. But also, I see you're doing fine and I don't know what else is going to come out. I don't know if you'll be better off after the surgery. So he said, I'll leave it in your hands. So just don't care about it and it will come back. So
now you should decide, because if he goes in and does the surgery, because now the mass was resting on so many of your organs. I remember you said it. Can you tell us what it was resting on and why it was so risky to operate on you and what could happen?
So the rectum, the bladder.
The rectum, the bladder. So if they went in and took the mass out, they were going to touch your rectum, remove your bladder.
It's fine. Near a vein, a major artery that's near my spine.
Well, okay, it was sitting on a major artery and that should have been affecting your movement, your leg. Okay, so, all right. So all this was going on and this was your first year of marriage.
Yeah.
And one thing also is when this thing started, because now we have a life and death situation in front of us.
Yeah.
Life and death.
Gone. Overnight.
And now it's like the money to travel is like, hey, if we don't know what's going to happen, let's travel.
Yeah.
So our prayers of getting closer together, getting closer to God, were being answered. Our prayer to travel, all of a sudden, my work started sending me places. So we went to Nigeria. We even came to the UK.
That's right.
So a lot of prayers were being answered while we were walking through this seemingly tragic
situation.
Journey.
Yeah. And then God was also showing me to have faith in him, because even with all the traveling, we never lost any money. It's like financially, we were good. God was helping us to pay off this truck that we were paying off, you know, with the business. Even though the business with his friends were going down, we were able to afford to pay for it
and still travel
and not go into debt, further debt because of it.
Okay, but then the mass was still there.
Yes, it was.
In terms of you getting pregnant with the mass, what were you told?
So we were told not to try for kids because...
Don't try it. Why?
Yes, they said if this mass were to move, it could do anything. It could paralyze me. It could, you know, do all sorts of damage. I can't use the restroom. It could do major damage. So they said
and it could be fatal too. It could kill you.
It could be very fatal.
In other words, don't try to have a baby. And they were still giving you the option, look, we've got to take this mass out.
Yeah.
So it was more or less, you guys decide what you want to do. More or less. It was like that. Okay. So this was the whole journey of your first year of marriage. So 2017, you married 2016, November 2017, 1 year, it's one challenge after the other. And then you're given this life and death situation. Yeah. And then you are literally told your future in terms of having children that don't try it because it could be fatal. So I noticed you are carrying a baby there.
Yes.
It looks like you tried something you shouldn't try there.
Yes. So I'm glad you said that. During that time, I asked Wale what he thought we should do after that appointment. He said, I think we should try for kids. Now, the devil started to torture me with, this man wants to kill you. They've already told you that you shouldn't try for kids. But God was telling me, hey, ride on this man's faith. Even if you are not there, your obedience is to align with him and what where his faith is. And Wale's faith was try for kids. So that's what we did.
Yeah. In other words, agree. You know, the Bible says if two agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be possible. Now, you were told something impossible. Don't try this. You both agreed and trusted God. But then, I know our time, but I have a little bit of insight because you told me some in-depth stories. And then you got pregnant. First time.
Yeah.
What year did you get pregnant?
That was in 2018.
You got pregnant 2018 after you were told don't try for a baby. And what happened when you noticed you got pregnant, even though you were told don't get pregnant?
Yes. So in the beginning of 2018, I had a vision, not a vision, a dream. And God showed me that me and my sister would be pregnant at the same time at a family gathering.
Yeah.
And my sister had been trying for kids for about 3 years. And I told my sister that dream in January. In March, she found out that she was pregnant and found out that she was due in November. November is Thanksgiving here in the United States. So we ended up going to celebrate Thanksgiving at her house. Now, in that dream, she was showing. We were both pregnant at the same time. She was showing, but I wasn't. She was like basically about to pop, and I wasn't. So on our way, as we were driving, getting ready to drive to Houston, I took a pregnancy test and I found out that I was pregnant.
That was in, was that in November?
That was in November of 2018.
So you saw this vision in January of 2018, and then in November 2018, which makes 2 years of your marriage, you found out you were pregnant.
Yes.
Was it and your sister, too, at that point in time, as it was shown to you in January, was also pregnant.
Yes.
So what happened?
So when we got to Houston, I told my sister, who is also a physician, that, hey, I got a positive pregnancy test. The line was faint, but it was too clear. It was two lines, but one of the lines was faint. So she told me, oh, my goodness, your dream, your dream. So she started to get excited, but I told her on my way to Houston, I was bleeding. She said, well, spotting is normal, can be normal, but she said, let's just watch it. So throughout the day, it progressively got worse. So in the evening, I told her I couldn't take it anymore. So me, her, and Wale went to urgent care, not urgent care, to the ER, And once we got there, they were checking, doing the ultrasound on me, and they were telling them, hey, I'm pregnant. I got a positive pregnancy test, this. But by the time they did the ultrasound, they didn't see a baby there anymore, but they did the mass. So they asked a doc, a surgeon to come. Well, we didn't know this. They had called the surgeon. So the lady comes in and she goes, do you know I'm here because you have a giant mass inside of you? We said, oh, yes, we know. So she didn't know we knew.
Why did you tell anybody that?
Yes.
They called her, they woke her up. She's planning for Thanksgiving. She's enjoying Thanksgiving with her family. And they just called her like, hey, there's something going on. Come.
So you went there because you were bleeding. Yes. And apparently you had lost that pregnancy.
Yes.
And, you know, and then this other surgeon came. Apparently, because when they were checking you, they didn't know your history.
Yes.
So they found a mass. So it's like the surgeon was called now, you know, come do something about this.
Yeah.
Right.
So what happened after that?
And then she said that she heard that about the pregnancy, that we really shouldn't be trying for kids with the mass in there.
They literally warned you again.
Yes.
Said, you guys are playing with fire here.
Yeah.
For something like this. And so, and then, so when we came back after Thanksgiving, we took the advice and said, okay, let's go see a specialist. and went to that same hospital that we've been going to, a different department.
Yeah.
So we got there, and the guy we spoke with, he was telling us how fertility worked. Okay, we're going to check our head, we check your sperm.
Yeah.
And we told him, okay, the reason we came is, you know, there's this mass. Okay. And I said, okay, yeah, tell me more about the mass. And as we were telling him, he said, we have records. We said, well, it's the same hospital that maybe you can see it. So he went to the system, he saw the records, and...
Yeah, so he goes, oh my goodness, you have a giant mass inside of you. I'm like, okay, thank you,
Captain. Giant mass.
We know. But he said, ah, I wouldn't even try for kids with something this big. You need to take this out. He said, I can't treat you. He asked me which doctor I saw, and he saw on my records that I had seen that woman that said that she was going to take out my ovaries. Come to find out that they were both friends. And he said, didn't they recommend that you take it out? She said, if I were in your situation, which apparently he had a mass before inside of him that was little and he got it removed, he said, I would get it removed. He said, I will not treat you for fertility until you address this issue. And basically escorted us out of his office.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they were just literally telling you it's not going to happen.
Yes.
So what happened? Because it seems like you guys are stubborn.
And I think it's true. Told us to do surgery, we would do it.
Yeah.
But we just never felt that. We never felt that God was telling us to do it.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that clearly, like, we told everybody that if God says do the surgery, we would do it. Yes.
Okay. So basically, you were holding on to what God told you.
Yes.
Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because one of the things we've been learning is that for you to exercise faith in what is impossible, what did God tell you? You must hear God and hold on to what God says against what, you know, physical evidence, logic, science is saying. And this seems to me like this is what you two stubborn guys, stubborn in faith, we're doing here. You are simply holding on to what God said.
Yeah.
So what now happened? I'm mindful of our time, but I'm sure people want to hear what happened because you are holding that baby. So now we've entered 2019.
Yeah.
So tell us what happened in 2019.
You want me to go? Yeah, so in 2019, we were just holding on to faith. God was showing us that he was more than able. And one thing he was really making us understand is that obedience was better than sacrifice. There's this common saying that, you know, God gives us common sense. We need to use common sense. You know, let's not be like those people. Because there have been people who said, oh, God told me to do this. And then something tragic happened. And then people say, did you really hear from God? So we had to make sure in our hearts are, like you said, Uncle, stubbornness, if you use that for, that it wasn't really stubbornness, like, well, we're like, God, I'm just trusting you. It was really his word. It was really his
word,
not our own.
That's right. You were doing this because this is what God spoke to you.
Yes. And we wanted to make sure it aligned with scripture too, because a lot of people, a lot of people say they hear from God, but it doesn't align with scripture. So during this time, we were growing together in our faith, making sure that the word that God gave us concerning what to do was aligning with the word of God. So
and that miscarriage, when that happened, one thing it caused us to think about was this a warning that the mass had to be gone before we had a baby?
Yes.
We didn't really know. We knew there was that. So it was... Some things weren't clear, but one thing that was absolutely sure at this time was our relationship, there was absolutely zero issues between us. We were on the same page. We started a ministry. Like, it was just, we were best of friends. We'd been through what people that have been married 30 years.
Yes.
That's right.
3 years. So that was one testimony we knew. That, okay, God is doing something this mass, even
That's
though
it's... Right. So in the midst of your challenges, you guys were growing together in agreement, in faith.
Yeah.
You were becoming, you know, like-minded, you know, believing, I mean, your faith was in sync, let me put it that way. You know, you were both in agreement with everything you were doing, and your marriage was actually growing in the midst of the adversity.
Yeah.
Okay, so take us quickly to, I know a lot, there's a lot of story. Like I said, you're coming back, you are coming back. So 2019, and then it was like, it's God warning you, take this mask out before you try. You're not even going to, the baby's not even going to come if this mask is still there, or what is really going on. And then, of course, people were, from what you're saying, well, look, common sense, because people would say, look, yeah, I know you have faith, but look, let's use our common sense. Yeah. Let's do that. But you are more convinced that this is what God is saying. And one thing I can pick from you there is that it's one thing to say this is what God is saying, but is it in line with the scriptures?
Yeah.
Is it in line with what is written? So what would you say was like maybe what was written, a scripture that helped you to know this is what God was telling you? Yeah. Did you have like a scripture or scriptures or?
One place that God was pointing me to was Mark chapter 11, verse 22.
Mark 11, 22.
Yeah, through 24.
Yes.
And basically, it says, if you say to this mountain, be removed, and do not, it says, be
and
removed.
Doubt.
See, and do not doubt, but believe, you know, it shall be done for you. And it says, anything you ask, you know, believe that you have received it.
Receive them.
Yes.
You shall have them.
Yes. And then it said at the end of that scripture, if you have anything against anybody, forgive them so that your heavenly Father may forgive you. And I realized that there was an alignment between
faith.
Making sure your heart is clear and God blessing you with certain things, because that scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's a God mindset first that allows you to ask for the things that is within his will so that you're blessed. That's why when it says the prayers of the righteous availeth much, it's not that you find righteousness within yourself. It's righteous because it's within the will of God.
Wow. So
that was kind of what he was gearing, is that as long as we are in obedience, whatever God is leading us to, it's him leading us and not us leading ourselves.
That's right. And you did mention about offenses, that Mark 11, 22, making sure your heart was clear, pure, you're not holding offenses, you're not, you know, because that scripture actually talks about also forgiveness.
Yeah.
Stand praying, forgive.
Yeah.
So you were making sure your heart was right, your heart was pure. It's not like you were blaming one witch in one village in Africa and, you know, blaming your outlaws and in-laws and middle laws and no laws. So, okay, now, what now happened? Because how old is Zach?
Zach is now 2.5 months, yeah.
2.5 months. So that means Zach was born, let's calculate. Okay, just give us the date.
Zach was born on September 30th.
September 30th. So that means, from my calculation, and he wasn't born premature,
no.
He must have taken in around maybe January or December.
Yes. So
how did that happen?
So go ahead. Yeah, I'll talk about that.
Don't worry. I know he's responsible for it. I know what he did, but it's okay.
So we have done a show called My Marriage Experience, and
that was
December of last year. As we were doing that show, unfortunately, my mom lost a brother and a sister during that time. So in January, my mom went to Nigeria to go and bury her sibling, and in January, my sister calls me during the time when my mom was in Nigeria, and she says, I'm so sad, something happened. I said, well, what happened? You know, and I'm thinking, you know, something sad, because 2020 started off really kind of crazy. And she says, I'm pregnant. I said, I said, that's a good thing. And it's my oldest sister. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's the, because I remember the other time you were pregnant and you lost the baby.
Yes.
Sister was pregnant then.
Yes.
Sister was not calling you. Another one was not calling you and telling you, oh, I'm pregnant. And that was our fourth baby.
Yes.
That she wasn't happy. Okay, go on.
Yeah, so my older sister called me saying that she wasn't happy, you know, because she had been praying for me to get pregnant. She wasn't even planning to get pregnant and she got pregnant. So she felt like, I would have wanted this pregnancy to be for you. So I told her, I said, it's God that gives kids.
That's
it's
right.
It's not for us to do. I know your heart is in the right place, but God has a time, appointed time for me to get pregnant. Meanwhile, I didn't know, as I'm telling her this, I'm pregnant. So
you were pregnant?
No, I did not know I was pregnant when I told her that. So I noticed that earlier this year, my period was late. So because we've already been on the roller coaster of, you know, having a pregnancy and losing one, we didn't really get too excited that my period was late. So I told Wale, Wale was like, just wait, let's see, maybe it's just late. Well, at that time, I don't know why, out of nowhere, I was just impatient. I was like, man, I want to know. So I go and take a pregnancy test, and both lines are very clear, not faint at all. And I run to him, and I said, look, do you see this? He's like, yeah, I see it. And by the way, Wale, like I told you, Wale has a very, he's a just cool dude. So his excitement and cool, just chilling is like literally an inch apart from each other. So he was just like, okay, we'll see, okay. So, you disagree? Yeah. So anyway, we end up calling the gynecologist that is near us. And they told us I have to wait until 8 weeks after my last period. So that was 2 weeks away. We end up going to get an ultrasound. And when we did, I was hearing, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, what is that? Is that my heartbeat? They go, no, that's your baby's heartbeat.
Wow.
And for the first time, I saw not just, a positive pregnancy test, but also a heartbeat. So at this time, when we got that ultrasound, we had planned to do a reveal because my parents were coming back from Nigeria from that burial, and then my siblings were going to be in town. So we wanted to do a reveal for my parents and then one for my siblings. During that time in between, I started to feel leg pain right after we got the ultrasound done.
Confirming there was a baby.
Yes.
And that leg pain was what you were warned that you should be feeling because there was a tumor, a mass. Okay. And then the leg pain now started after baby.
So when that leg pain started, I was just like, oh my goodness. Now this leg pain that they've been saying since that this mass moves is now going to be trouble for me. God had reminded me to trust him for healing. So I began to rebuke the pain in my leg. And immediately, like within a day, it was gone.
Wow.
Never felt it since.
Wow.
Yeah. After that, we did the reveal with my parents and my siblings, and they were all excited. So we ended up going back to the gynecologist, and he said, hey, we're going to make sure we get a team of doctors involved. So then, by the way, the man is a believer. He's like, right now you're pregnant, the mass is there, but we just have to watch you. We're not gonna abort this baby or get rid of this baby. We're just gonna monitor you. But we're gonna get some doctor specialists involved to see if we need to get them to do anything in the in-between time. So as we were going throughout this process, God was increasing our faith. As the baby was growing for the first time, the mass started to switch locations.
Wow.
It had always been on my left side and it moved clear to the opposite side on my right.
It was as if as the baby was growing, the legal tenant was just shifting.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And that was something that, because no one knew what it was. Remember that analogy of what it's attached to? But as it was moving, it's like, well, it can be attached to that many things if it's moving.
Yeah.
So it was just, it was encouraging seeing it move. There was a time they said the baby's measurement was smaller than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But they said they had to do some more scans, and they were worried, okay, maybe the mass is taking nutrients from the baby.
Mm-hmm.
They washed it, and after 2 weeks, well, it's fine now. And at some point, they said
his abdomen was too big.
There were just some things that were showing up on the screen. We'll go for more scans. Then the next scan is gone. So it was, in terms health-wise, she was perfect, but there were some scary things on the screen that would come up, and next scan, it's gone. But through it all, God just kept our faith strong through it, because we're just holding on to him.
Yeah.
He put the baby there, he's going to take the baby out.
Yeah. His due date was, oh, go ahead.
No, go on.
His due date was September 23rd. Well, he ended up being in my stomach longer than he should have. Now, this whole time, he had been breached. Like, he was so,
rather than him upside down.
Yes. Right before I was due, he started to point down. So he ended up being overdue, but he was pointing down.
And one thing that doctors had said with the different people they sent us to was, if they have to do a C-section because he's breached, he's not pointing down, that they'll tell one of the specialist doctors to come so that when they're doing the C-section, they can at least look at the mass and
figure out what they want to do with it.
Okay, let's get something here. As the baby was growing and you were getting closer to the due date, the baby was which way up?
So he was sitting up.
He was first of all sitting up, and the baby's meant to be facing down.
Yeah.
And then that was an issue.
Yes, that was an issue. Yes.
Okay. And then as the days were going on, the baby went across, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And it was across and not even pointing down yet.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And then you went over your due date.
Yes.
So and where was he? Where was that young man facing then? Was still deciding.
Completely down.
Sorry?
What was impossible was a vaginal delivery. And now he's in the perfect position. And the mass was away from that area.
Wow.
The
mass had moved.
It had moved, yes. And had never moved prior to that time. So he was facing down. And when we got to an appointment, this was the Monday after the 23rd of the previous week. When we got there, they said, hey, your fluid is low. We need to induce you, do an induction right now. So we ended up going to the hospital, and I was in labor. They induced me, and I was in labor for about 18 hours.
18 hours.
Yeah, waiting to dilate in a way that was good enough for the baby to come out. My dilation process was taking a lot longer than normal. So, when I did finally start dilating, the medicine that they were giving me was making his heart rate go down.
So the medicine was supposed to increase our contractions.
Yeah.
And they said with the contraction, the baby's heart rate would jump up to come out. But after each contraction, his heart rate was going down.
It was actually going down. So the baby was now being affected negatively.
Yeah. So they were afraid they may not have the energy for the labor process.
Yeah.
Because his heart rate is going down, so that means something is happening that's not giving him the energy needed for the labor process.
Yeah.
So eventually.
I ended up being in labor. It was getting towards, at this time, almost 24 hours. Hmm. And I was praying to God that God would help me dilate and that his heart rate would go up. I kept praying. I mean, I'm speaking in tongues. Really praying that there will be no C-sections, that I'll be able to vaginally deliver the baby. Well, the doctor comes in and he says, if his heart rate goes down one more time, we're going to do a C-section because we don't want to lose this baby. So as I'm praying, declaring, I was getting more dilated and I was thanking God for that, but then his heart rate plummets.
Wow.
And it starts going like way down too quickly. They're like, nope, we're going to do a C-section.
It was like you were not going to lose the baby.
Yes, yes. Mm. So they rushed me to the back to go and do the C-section. Now, at this time, I'm in excruciating pain. I've been in labor for at least maybe like 30 hours at this time. And they start to prepare for the C-section. Now they gave me medicine. Wale's gonna remember some things in a way that I won't remember. But as they are getting ready to do the C-section, they end up, of course, putting me on medication. I was there, but I was kind of loopy, but they ended up bringing the baby out and he was completely healthy.
Now, because the C-section wasn't scheduled,
yes,
the specialist that was supposed to come look at the mass wasn't scheduled to be there.
Yeah.
Wow. So
a gynecologist, and then he got someone on the staff at the hospital to come.
Mm-hmm.
So after they did the surgery, they gave the baby to me, and Linda was still in pain, and Linda was just like, "Oh, let me see him." And she was asking, "Oh," and then she was feeling a little. I don't know what was happening.
I was feeling like, because I was seeing, they didn't know that I was seeing the reflection of them cutting my body inside the light. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. When I was seeing that, it was making me feel a little funny. So they were giving me more medicine, but as they gave me more medicine, I felt like I was getting a little too loopy. So I kept talking to my husband so I don't drift away, heaven forbid, to somewhere else.
Yeah.
At this time, the doctors are talking over me, and he could hear this part, so I let him tell this part.
So there was a part, I had the baby, and it seemed like they were putting Linda back up. Then I heard them talking, and then one of the doctors said, "Oh, this looks like a bow." I'm like, looks like, as I just started praying, like, God, be their eyes, be their head, because it wasn't encouraging to hear you think when someone is open and you're doing surgery. So they gave me the baby. Then at some point when they were done, I took the baby to the room. And then Linda was still there. We were doing the finishing touches. And then the doctor came. And the doctor said, okay, like, it was a successful surgery. And the doctor said, that while they were there, we just figured, okay, let me look at the mass. Still, even though the other...
The mass was still there.
So he said, he looked at it. He said they had to take... move some things around. So that was why it took so long after the delivery. And he said that when he got there, he saw that the mass was only attached to the ovary.
Wow.
So he said, and then he just thought about it, like, it's already this much that in good faith, he couldn't just leave it there. Like, if it's only attached to one thing, so just say, like, he just snipped it and cut up, like, a big part of the ovary. But he was able to get it out, and then he showed a picture of it. So at the end of the day, the mass was there with the baby. The baby was out, and the
mass was out.
Yes, and he was able to save my ovary, by the way.
Sorry?
Save it so I can have kids in the future as well.
So there's one perfect ovary, and then there's one
that's still
there, but not the full size.
Wow. So the baby and the mass were growing together.
Yeah.
When the baby came, the mass started, you know, finding its level and moved. Baby came out, and then they realized also, we can actually get this mass out finally without any further damage or complication.
Yeah.
And that was how we had, I was almost saying that was your Christ mass, you know, Christmas. Glory, 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 glory be to God. I know we skipped a lot of very key things because we're still going to talk about this, some intricacies about the faith journey. But you've been able to cover literally what God's been speaking to us about faith. And I believe somebody's faith listening to this has lifted. When the man says it's impossible, medical science says it's impossible. When God speaks and says, I'm able to do what is impossible with man and make it possible. And all we need to do is hold on and believe what God has said. You wanted to say something, Linda?
Yes, there was something I just remembered that I wanted to make sure people are able to connect. Remember when I said my mom lost two siblings?
Yeah. And that was within weeks, wasn't it? Within a month.
Yeah, within a month of each other. Me and my sister were pregnant at the same time. And before, when my mom lost her two siblings, those were the first two siblings my mom had ever lost, ever. And my mom said, what comforted her is that she had remembered that there was a time four of her sisters were pregnant at the same time. And that comforted her. That's before me and my sister got pregnant. My mom said, if God could give four at the same time, I shouldn't get mad if he takes two. It's not mine. So even though my mom went to Nigeria to go and bury a brother and a sister, she came back and she ended up having a granddaughter and a grandson. Because my sister So I wanted to add that in there.
Wonderful. Just to remind us, everyone listening, I know the time has really gone, but we can't just stop at that point. We must hear the end. Now, what looked like the end for this couple, what we can see is God came at the latter end. We saw the glory of God at the latter end. I know there's quite a lot, like I said, because I know when you shared this story with me, you know, I was just kind of praying and I just felt, no, Lord. It's one thing to preach, to show people the Bible. Let's look for a couple that are living this Bible, that are living testimonial of what's written in the Bible in our own time. And that's really what your journey has been. And thank you. I know we had to take your time, and everybody watching tonight, we've gone literally 30 minutes over, but you will agree with me that it is worth the time. Thank you, Wally. Thank you, Linda. Let me see now. I've got a nice picture of you again here. Let me just bring your picture up. Okay, that's when you came. We met in Dallas. We met in Florida. Not knowing that, boy, there was something going on in that belly there. You know, you were still like, oh, everything was okay. That was last year. And to God be the glory, that's the happy couple, Wale, Linda, and Zach. Really appreciate you for coming tonight. As we close, before I hand over to the media team, you know what? I would like you both, whoever wants to pray. I know your faith now is in sync, so one of you can pray. I want you to pray for someone listening, watching, and stay till the end of this broadcast. Maybe they've been told something was impossible. Maybe their faith in God has been shaken. I will ask you to just pray, you know, as God leads you, because I know you shared some things also with me, Linda, how God built your faith and led you to start praying even for people. No, there's a part we missed, but I will say this. While you were going to the oncologist and being, you know, where you were seeing cancer patients, you went as a patient and you were led to start praying for other patients. That's amazing. So if you don't mind, just pray. And I'll just hand over straight to the media team with a shorter announcement, and then we'll close from there. So I'm not sharing anything again, media team. Mm-hmm. After this prayer, I'll step aside and you take over. All right, over to you. Thank you. People, I can see live comments here. Amazing testimony. To God be the glory. Thank you, Wally, Linda, Zach. Thank you, Wally and Linda, for sharing. Thank you for not holding back. Thank you. Really, really blessed, and I'm proud to call you family, the two of you. Really, really proud of you. I tell you that. And Wura is with me here and the boys in the studio. You know, when we came and we met you in Florida, we didn't know you were going through all this. We didn't know. You came even with all the challenges you were going through, and you looked after us. You took care of us. You cooked for us, Linda. Oh boy, I ate that food. I'll never forget. We're coming back. And you know what? You surprised me. You bought me a football boot on my birthday. Remember, it was May last year. Thank you so much. I'm so proud of you. So do you want to pray as we just round up there?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now just for everything that, even in the midst of the world being in chaos, God, you are doing amazing things amongst kingdom believers. Lord God, we just thank you that you have given us this opportunity to share this testimony with Pastor Fola and all of the wonderful people in this church and beyond. And God, I pray that if there's anyone out there that may be listening on this call, and it's funny, even as I'm saying this, Lord, please direct what I'm about to say. There is someone here who is discouraged, and I can feel in my spirit that that person is very discouraged, and they needed to hear something encouraging. They needed to know that God is able. I just want that person to know that what you're even thinking God can do, God is about to even supersede your expectations. It's only you need to trust him to believe. When there was the Red Sea, when it came to Moses and the children of Israel, and it seemed like Pharaoh's army was going to be able to attack them, God opened up the Red Sea for them to pass on dry land. But even as they were passing on that dry land, it was not without its challenges, because the Pharaoh's army was still coming up behind them, and it seemed like Pharaoh's army was going to catch up with them. But as God would have it, he began to create chaos and disorder amongst Pharaoh's army so that they would be drowned in the sea. And God revealed the word to Moses that the Egyptians that they saw then, they shall see no more. God, I thank you that even though the person who may be going through challenges, whoever that person is, it may be more than one, that you may be going through challenges, I just want you to know in the name of Jesus that even if it seems like Pharaoh's army is still coming in the midst of God showing you some encouraging things, that you should know that God has a way of using what may seem like something negative to work for your good, to make sure that the Egyptians and the troubles and the challenges that you saw before, that you would see no more. And he will allow you to cross a mighty sea on dry land. And he will allow you to see that the problems that you, the challenges that you faced were actually working for your good. Lord God, I pray that all the people who listen to our testimony, Lord, I pray that they are encouraged to know that you are faithful, that you are a good God, and that you work all things for the good of those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. God, thank you for this church. Thank you for this ministry. I pray that you continue to bless, Lord God, what Pastor Fola is doing, what the church team is doing, what everyone who is connected to this ministry is doing, oh Lord. And let all of the wonderful things that this ministry is used for, Lord, I pray that you allow people to come to you, Lord God, that people would become, Lord God, deeper believers through this ministry. God, we thank you that right now, through this testimony that you've given us to share with everyone here, Lord God, there has been a release, Lord God, of blessings and testimonies for each and every person on this call to have as well. God, we thank you and we give you glory for answered prayers. It's in Jesus' name that we do pray and ask all these things.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
One final thing just that came to mind is a lot of times when we go through challenges, we postpone hope and we postpone the testimony till the end of it.
Yeah, I'm praising God.
Yeah. But one thing through it all is, like the scripture said, all things work together for good for those that love God. As long as we are loving God, we can be certain that it's going to work for good.
Yeah.
And even praise Him and even start encouraging people yeah. through that process.
Yeah.
We shouldn't wait till the testimony is not over. We shouldn't have the gloom and doom, and then when it's over, and then, praise God.
Exactly.
No, like, praise God through it all, yeah. because it's working something for good as long as we're doing our part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Zach, Linda, and Wale Ayode, all the way from Dallas, Texas. Thank you. We'll definitely call on you again. God bless you. Enjoy and stay strong, stay safe, and keep on shining. God bless you. And thank you, everybody.